Father, I pray even now as my mouth is about ready to open up, Lord Jesus, that all my ideas and all my thoughts would just fade away. Lord, I need your anointing this morning. I need, Father, your peace to rule over my spirit. Before I break open into the Word of God, I ask that you would move over this congregation, Father, and I thank you for them, each and every one of them. Lord, I pray that, again, we would have this deep desire, this hunger for your righteousness in our life, Father, that we would desire, Father, really want that living spirit that comes from the Father to indwell our very being, that we would speak your righteousness and that we would think your ways, your will, Father. And Lord, we ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Last week I was going through the wheat and the tares and the next couple parables that we're going to get into today about the kingdom. Jesus is telling about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and how it starts with such a minute thing. It starts by hearing the Word, right? It starts by hearing God and how He speaks to us. And it starts by that moving of the Father over top of somebody. And they hear, they start to understand. And God reaches into us as sinners. And He implants in us a spark of life through salvation. Just as we are, right? He comes while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And He died for us that we might live for Him and with Him forever. What a concept. And as Jesus is teaching these parables, and He talks about the mustard seed, and He talks about the leaven. We will get into both of those. Hey, George, God bless you. Before we get into this, I found this other parable that Jesus taught within the same time. It's in the book of Mark. And He talks about the seed of righteousness that God puts in us. And he brings it from a farmer's perspective, as He does often through the parables, and moves in people's lives and talks to people where they're at. And this is Mark chapter 4, and starting in verse 26. And He, meaning Jesus, said, "So the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast a seed into the ground, and should sleep and arise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in a sickle, because the harvest is come." As Jesus is talking here, He wants you to understand something, that the kingdom of God may not be what we think it is in our mind. We think of a kingdom, or I think of a kingdom as, I lived in Germany for a lot of years, right? And in German places, in different towns, they would have these castles, right? And I've been to the castle that looks like the one that Walt Disney built. I can't remember the name of it, but it's the only castle in Germany that you actually walk downhill to and then back uphill to. All the other castles were up on a big mountain, and so you could see them from afar off. This one, you had to walk several kilometers through the woods on trails, and you come and you actually start, you see this castle, and it's off in the distance, and you're above it, and you've got to walk down to it. What a beautiful thing. And when I think of a kingdom, that's the kingdoms I think of, you know, knights in shining armor, and the swords, and the javelins, and all that stuff, and this kingdom, this realm. And you see it in all of its glory, right, to start with. And that's how you know you're in the kingdom. You see the castle. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is a little bit different. It starts with just a spark. It starts with the smallest of things. It starts like a farmer has hope. He takes seed and he plants it in the ground. And then he goes about his regular life. He goes to sleep and he wakes up. And he goes to sleep and he wakes up. And the earth starts to bring forth its fruit and it starts to grow. And as it grows, you can see it sprout up a little bit. And then before long, you see the ear, the base of the corn growing. And then later the corn comes on the cob, you know, which is a weird thing. And then when it's ready, the harvest comes. And then all of that grain gets brought to a particular place to be dealt with. Jesus says the same thing in Matthew. And we could stay in Mark and talk about the mustard seed, because he says it, hereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, verse 30 of Mark chapter 4. Hereunto can we liken the kingdom of God, or what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it was sown in the earth is the least of all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Brings me to think again, you know, the kingdom of God. When Jesus came to expose the kingdom of God to humankind, it started in the most unusual way, that God decided to save the world through a baby. The King of Kings coming into earthly form, and not just a child, but a peasant child. He had no comeliness that we should adore him. He had nothing that we could look to him and say, wow, that's the King of Kings, that's the Lord of Lords there. He came in the most humble of ways, in just almost in a nothingness, in a quietness. But inside of him was the fullness of the kingdom of God. Our salvation starts the same way. We hear the Spirit of God. We hear him call our name. And it starts something. And it starts something so minuscule on the inside of us. It may even be unrecognizable at first. You hear the good news. You hear that there is a Savior. You hear that there is a light desiring to shine into your darkness. You hear that there's a hope for the hopeless. And something comes alive in you that was dead. And it starts just this smallest thing. And even as I'm speaking this in my mind, there's a video going up here, and it's how a grain of wheat falls, or a grain falls into the ground, and it grows a little fuzz around it. It's dying, it's decaying, and then from that fuzz will grow a root, and then from that root it'll take that grain and push it up, and then it'll cast it off, like a bean plant growing, or a piece of wheat or corn growing. Thank you, Lord, for this. I didn't even think of it. But Jesus said it this way in John chapter 12:24. Let me go there real quick, because I want to make sure I say this correctly. John 12, verse 24. Yeah. All right, we'll start at 26. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come, and the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth in itself. It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life shall, in this world, shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And then there came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore stood by, and they heard it, and said, that thundereth. Others said, an angel spoke to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Thinking of that in the kingdom, right? Thinking of that the way that Jesus was talking about the seed. He said, first the seed's got to die. The seed itself, that faith, that Jesus was going to have to die, and when he died, something new was going to grow. When Jesus paid it all on the cross, and he died a real death, something new started happening in the cosmos. Something new started happening in all the universe. All of a sudden, the kingdom that had been hid, the mysteries that had been hid since the beginning of the world, started being available for people to understand. Started coming to light. The righteousness of God was coming to mankind that He wanted them to know of the kingdom that was offered to them. And He said, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to die. And if I be high and lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. Watch me die. Watch me die on the cross. And I'm going to start this thing that has been started since the world began, but now people are going to be able to see it. It was a mystery. It's been hidden ever since the foundation of the world. And now it's coming to light that you can see the real kingdom of God is being exposed to you. And this is how it's going to happen. And he talks about this seed, this mustard seed. This is how it happens. Back in Matthew, because that's where we've been taking most of these things from. 13:31, and the parable was sent forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. All right, hold on to this thought. I was asked this week the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Well, we see Mark used the kingdom of God. Matthew used the kingdom of heaven, the same parable, the same time, the same place. All right? If there's any confusion, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are one and the same. There's not two separate kingdoms. All right? There's one kingdom, right, that we, if we've trusted, if that seed of God has been planted in us, it's going to grow. It's going to grow. It's going to start. God's Word never returns void, right? It always accomplishes what He sent it out to be. And when that Word of God gets inside of the person and starts to germinate, things start changing in their life. Amen? We talked about this in some people. How do you know? How do you know that you have the kingdom of God inside of you? Are you growing? Are you growing? Is things changing in your life? Are you starting to die to the old seed that you were? And are you starting to grow into this new thing, this smallest of seed inside of you, and it starts to explode and to expound and to stretch out and grow into this massive tree, which is the kingdom. And it's inside of you and it's inside of me. Right? And the fruits of that kingdom are the fruits of the Spirit. Before that kingdom, before that spark, before that seed got into me, I could not love the way that I'm supposed to love. I could not do it. It wasn't in me. I could not make it happen. Now, I could love in a way that if I love you, you better love me. If I scratch your back, you better scratch my back. That reciprocal is what you plug into. Or like a reciprocal saw, you know, back and forth. I give you, you give me. And I could love that way. Or I could have joy, but it was only when things were going my way that I had joy. You know, when it's my birthday, I got what I wanted. Joy, joy! Right? But now I can have joy in the midst of my sorrow. Why? Because I have the kingdom growing inside of me. Peace. Right? Before I had that seed of the kingdom growing inside of me, changing in my heart and producing things on the outside, I only had peace when there was not conflict. Right? But now in the midst of my conflict, I can have peace. Why? Because I have a kingdom. I have the promise of the kingdom on the inside of me, growing, changing, exploding, killing the old thing, the old flesh, the old man that was inside. So how do I know that I am? How do I know I'm saved? There's differences. I have a hunger and thirst for righteousness that I did not have before. I have a peace in the midst of my troubles. I have patience where before I would punch you in the face. I had no patience. Right? And just that way. And I hate to keep reverting back to who I was, but that's who I was. I mean, I was a dog, right? And I would do dog things. But once that kingdom got exposed to my inner man, things changed. And now, believe it or not, I can put up with you a whole lot better than what I could before Christ, right? As before Christ, like I said, I didn't put up with people real well. I was very short-tempered and really, really nasty. But now I have the patience of God because I have the kingdom of God growing on the inside of me. Kindness, goodness. I had none of that before Christ. I was not kind and I surely was not good. There was nothing good in me. And I could even say that today. There's still nothing good in me except for the kingdom of God, which Jesus put in me. That it started growing from the smallest of seeds, and it just has over the years stretched out, and it's a lot bigger now than what it was when it started. Amen? There's that growth, that expanding. And Jesus refers that here in the mustard seed. He says it starts growing. Indeed, it is the least of all. It's small, it's tiny. But when it's grown, it becomes the greatest of all the herbs and becomes a tree. So that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. And in Mark says it lodges, they have shade in it, in the branches where they stay there. Now think of this, as that kingdom of God starts becoming alive in you, and you grow, and all of a sudden evil comes, right? Because it's going to come. Are you able to endure it? See, it doesn't bother me if Satan sends his little birds to mess with me. It doesn't bother me. You want to rest in the branches? You see, God makes it shine on the rain on the just and the unjust, right? So as that fruit of righteousness, that fruit of the kingdom is growing in me, and around me are the birds, are the evil things in this world, guess what? They're still able to eat of the fruit that God is producing in me, right? In you. So the evil people that are surrounding us, and we got, who has evil folks? Folks that don't know, they're enemies of God, they live around you, right? Amen? Well, can they enjoy some of the love that you have? Yeah. Can they glean some of the joy that you're experiencing, some of the patience and goodness, all of those things, because the kingdom of God is alive in you and it's growing? It doesn't matter what the evil does. Jesus said that they're going to come, they're going to live in my branches, they're going to live in the branches of the church, and that's okay. Remember the last parable we talked about was the wheat and the tares. He said he went and planted good seed in the ground, but the enemy came and planted tares. And so what? Big deal, right? And that's what happens. Now let them grow together until the time of the harvest. God's going to take care of that, right? It's not my job, right? It's not my concern whether you're a wheat or a tare. What my concern is that seed of righteousness, that knowledge of the kingdom inside of this vessel, right? Is it growing? Is it producing what it needs to produce? From time to time it is, right? Because I still have a sin nature, and guess what? I fail every day. Every day. There's not a morning that I there's not a day that I wake up and I am without sin. Right? But as we saw in the Bible study this morning from 1 Corinthians, that there's coming a day where this corruption will put on incorruption. There's coming a day when the kingdom is exposed, or I'm exposed in the kingdom, I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to have a celestial body because this terrestrial body will be done away with. Right? There's coming a day where the kingdom that I believe in so fervently on this life that I will give anything to maintain it. There's coming a day where my faith will become sight. right? There's coming a day when all these thoughts, all these things, all these parables that Jesus was talking about will happen. He told another parable like the other parable. I like that. Told one like the other one. And this one here, he uses leaven. Now, a mustard seed, indeed, Jesus says, is the smallest seed of all the seeds, right? Herb seeds, he says so. So I believe it. I've never measured seeds, and I don't know. I know it's smaller than corn. But anyhow, he says it's the smallest and goes to this. Leaven is microscopic. Yeast, anybody ever open up one of those right packs of yeast? Those are teensy. It's like powder, right? And Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now, it kind of made my mind wet now, because every time I read about leaven in the Bible, it always talks about evil, right? It always refers to evil. But as I was reading that, I kind of put evil in that. I said, that can't be what Jesus is talking about. Let's use leaven in the way that all of the modern commentaries put it, okay? Now, I had to go back to a Bible believer back before the 1800s before you could find what I thought was the truth, okay? You know my favorite, Matthew Henry. He's the guy that I like a lot. His book is right back there on the table. I used it today because we had some hard things in the scripture that we're going through and to help us understand. But if you read it like all of the modern, up-to-date, most fancy translations of the Bible would read it, they put it this way because they say leaven is evil. So Jesus here, if leaven is evil, he would have put it like this. The kingdom of heaven is evil, and it's like a woman which hid it in three measures of meal till the whole of heaven was made evil. Can't be. That can't be. All right, because in heaven, how much evil is there? None. Okay, so it must mean something different. So if you have one of those new commentaries of the Bible and you read through them, and I read through a bunch of them this week, and like 90% of them say that this is what it meant, that it was evil, and there's evil in the church, and the evil is going to keep growing through the church until it's in heaven somehow. Come on. When they're teaching that is really the PhDs mean piled high and deep. That's way deep, right? And so because it's absolutely wrong, because the kingdom of heaven cannot be that way. What he's saying here, to keep it in the same mode as the rest of the scripture, and what he's really saying, I believe when Jesus was teaching this, he may have looked out amongst the crowd and he saw a lady probably with a confused look on her face, maybe flour on her dress, right? He said, how can I help this individual here, right? I see she's a baker. She does something with, I can see that. So how can I explain this to her in such a way that she'd be able to grab a hold of it? So I know what she does. She bakes. She knows what leaven is. And she knows you can take a little bit of leaven and leaven the whole lump. You take it and you mix it, and you mix it in. So he uses something that was very familiar to her. Remember, he used it in Mark. He was talking to farmers. He used it about a farmer sowing seed. And again, he used it like a mustard plant growing. And all of these, there's a word for it.
Agricultural,
but there's like if I want to talk to a banker, I talk about money. If I want to talk to a farmer, I talk about
familiar.
Yeah, familiar. That's what I'm looking for. My familiar. Yes. So anyhow, he was talking something that was real to the individual, right? And he said, "Listen, it's like leaven. Every woman in that crowd knew what it was to take three measures of wheat flour." And mix leaven in it until the whole thing was leaven. Everybody who had ever baked a loaf of bread knew what that was about. He said the kingdom of heaven is like that. You can't really see it working from the outside, but it worked from the inside out. Right? Like that seed, that mustard seed that's planted in the ground, and then it grows, and it grows into this huge thing. It works from the inside. Unseen things start happening right to begin with. You expect that you accept Jesus Christ and His kingdom, you surrender to Him, something happens on the inside of you that it may not be obvious for a while. Right? I know when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I didn't wake up the next morning a mighty Christian. Right? I didn't wake up and I was right to start with. Now, I was right in the heavenlies because this thing had already started on the inside. But it needed to grow. It needed time. It needed to rise. Right? That Spirit needed to grow on the inside of me. And if you would have looked at me the first year, or 12, of my Christianity, you would have said, I don't know if it took. You know? I don't know if it took. But it did, because here I am. I didn't quit. That's how I know it took. I didn't stop. I never stopped growing. I never stopped being sanctified. I never stopped hearing the Word of God, and it started making a change and a difference in my life. It made me long for this kingdom, right? I longed for that kingdom so much that I was willing to give anything and everything that I had on this earth for it. And it didn't happen like Tinkerbell. Or didn't she teach Peter Pan? She taught the boys how to fly, right? And so, and this fairy dust falls on you and float away. It didn't happen like that, right? She had to take that Tinkerbell wand and beat the snot out of you several times. Out of you, right? And so, but God, He was patient with me, and He worked with me, and He showed me my sin, and He said, do you love me more than this? Then stop doing this and come up here. Do you love me more than, do you want to be up here, Curtis? Do you want to be closer to the kingdom? Then stop doing this and come on up. Right? And it was gradual. It was a little bit at a time. Because I know me, I would get so discouraged if God said, well, you're saved, and now you need to be here. You started here, you need to be here immediately. Now, He saw me in the spiritual realms already up there. But in real life, I was down here. Right? I was struggling. That seed was still dying on the inside of me. Before anything started springing up out of the ground, before you could see it, the Spirit, the kingdom of God, was alive inside of me before it ever became apparent on the outside of me. I like that. Because you can't look at me and tell. And I can't look at you and tell. You say you trust Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm with you. You say, well, I still sin. I got problems. I can't get over these things every day in my life. What can I do to get from there to there? Stick with it. That's how you do it, right? Anybody who has ever done anything to lose weight, right? Or to get strong muscles. I need to get muscles. I need to be strong. So what do you got to do? You got to work at it, right? You don't wake up one day and bench press 200 pounds. That's not what you do. You might get fall and break your neck. You can't do that. But if you start with 25 pounds, right, and you work it out, and your muscles get stronger, then you go up to 50, 100, and eventually you can do that. The same thing with the Spirit of God. He finds you as this. Remember the beluga bubble gum? Bazooka. Bazooka. Right? And there's that cartoon where that guy's kicking sand in his face in the comic, and you open it up, and there's a little comic strips in there. Did y'all ever see
that? I remember that one.
Right. You remember that one? So anyhow, there's this thing, right? And so this little weeny, puny, skinny guy with this big muscle guy's kicking sand in his face with his girlfriend beside him. And he gets all mad and he goes off. But then he starts chewing bazooka bubblegum. He gets stronger. I don't know how that works. But he got stronger, right? And then after a while, he came and beat up the strong guy. So God starts doing this small thing on the inside of you. You stick with it. You work with it. You allow God to work in you and change you. And then before long, you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? You get stronger as you walk with Him. The longer you stay with Him, the more able you're able to do stuff. The more you're able to reach out. But see, you gotta want it. See, I gotta want the kingdom more than I want the world. Which brings us to the next couple of parables. Alright, Jesus goes on, and these next parables are parables that he taught to his disciples after he had sent the multitude away. In fact, it says in verse 36 of Matthew 13, then Jesus sent the multitudes away. So that lets me know that Jesus sent the multitudes away. Okay, kind of simple. And he went to the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare to us the parable of the tares. But we went over that last week. Okay, so he also, in the midst of that, again, verse 44, again, he was teaching them. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hid, and for joy thereof, he goeth and he sells all that he hath and buys the field. Alright, let's go ahead and read the next one, the pearl of the great price. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man, seeing goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of a great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Okay. Let's examine that. What's the kingdom worth to you? Everything. Is it? Are you really, is it? Is the kingdom worth everything? Are you willing to take everything you have? This first guy, he kind of looks like he stumbled upon the kingdom, right? He really wasn't looking for it. It's just everyday life, and all of a sudden somebody exposed it to him. And the first guy says the kingdom of heaven was likened to a treasure, and it was hid in a field. So this guy's just walking along. Have you ever just been walking along, kicking the ground or something like that, and you kick up a quarter or a dollar, silver dollar, something like that? Boy, that's cool. That's great. Well, this guy kicked up something, and it was unbelievably wealthy. It wasn't a quarter. It had this great, huge amount of wealth. It's the kingdom of God. And he's just going about regular life, just walking through a field, and all of a sudden the kingdom is exposed to him. He says, oh man, what a treasure. What a treasure. I tell you what, I gotta have it. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna take that treasure. When the man found it, he hid it. What do you do with the seed? You bury it. He took the knowledge of the kingdom, that first illuminating spark of righteousness of a God who loves them, and he took it and he hid it deep in his heart. He said, I'm going to hide it. I'm going to put it down here. I'm going to hold on to this. It's great. It's worth something. And I want it. I want it bad. And he hid it. And for the joy thereof, all right, he found it. He heard about it, he hid it, and because of the joy of the kingdom, the understanding of the promise of God becoming real, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. He said, I heard, I see the kingdom, I understand it a little bit. Man, I want it. I'm going to sell everything. I'm going to sell everything I have, and I'm going to go and buy it. Whatever it takes, whatever, there's nothing in this world that's going to stop me from achieving what God wants to grow inside of me. All right? I want it more than I want my mom. I want it more than I want my dad. I want the kingdom more than I want all of my children. I want the kingdom more than all of the wealth that this world can give. Ooh, I'd rather have Jesus, right? In houses or land. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world has to offer. So I'm willing to get rid of it all. If it means that I die a pauper to wake up in the kingdom, praise God, then I'll die penniless. I'll give it all away that I might gain the kingdom.
Praise God.
Will ya? Alright, now that's something you got to wrestle with yourself. Is the kingdom worth that to you? It is to me. Not that my wife would ever do this, but if my wife said you had to choose between me and the kingdom, I would help her pack her bags. Okay, really, I love you, honey. I really do. But I love God more. All right? I love God more.
Anybody that
all right? Mm-hmm. Amen to that. My oldest son said, I love this body. He's my son. He's my first son. Right? I love this boy. But he said, Dad, if you keep witnessing to me about Jesus Christ, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. I can show you the text. I still have it. Or the messenger thing. I still got it. You know? So I told him one more time about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he's not talked to me since. And that's two, three years ago. Right? There's more to the story, but that's the base of it. I would rather have Jesus than a relationship with my fleshly son. I would rather be here in the tundra of New York preaching to the 10 or 15 people that are here. Right? Than not preaching and in the comfort of L.A., Lower Alabama. All right. And the comfort of the warmth and the mosquitoes and the big old palmetto bugs. Right? Those nice things that they give you. I would rather have Jesus than all those things. The second man, he's a merchant. He's a wheeler and dealer. And he's looking for something. Right? He's actively seeking pearls. He says, listen, I know where to go and I'm going to go. I know that there's something better than what this world has to offer. I'm going there. And whatever it takes, when I find it, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to deal with it as it comes. This man, he's seeking it. He's looking for it. He's a merchant. He's a businessman. And he's looking for goodly or beautiful pearls. And when he found this one pearl, when he found Jesus, talk about a pearl of great price. When you find Jesus dying for your sin, raising from the dead, and ascending to heaven, right? When you find that, when you find that promise of the kingdom that Jesus came, that he said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. When you find that pearl, man, you'll hold on to it. Yeah, you know, like he said, he found a pearl of great price and he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. I want it more than all my other stuff. Right? I want the pearl. I want that reward from heaven. I want the kingdom more than anything of my financial wealth. When I first started preaching here, and doing this work, I was full-time floor installer, full-time pastor. And y'all that have been here, you've heard this story before. And the Lord laid on my heart. Now, I was doing both. I was working, you know, full-time. And if you don't know preparing these messages, you don't do it in 4 minutes. It takes some time. You struggle, you read, you pray, you fast. It takes a while to get all of these thoughts down on paper and make them somewhat understandable. Because I could write it like, whoo! But, anyhow, God laid on my heart. He said, Curtis, you can do one of two things. You can install floors and you'll be a good floor installer. And I'll provide for you. You love me. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. You can do that. Or you can be a pastor. And I'll love you and I'll provide for you. And I'll give you more than what this will ever offer you. So I had a choice to make. I was at one of those crossroads. I said, all right, God, I love you more than I love my work. And folks, that's where my identity, my whole who Curtis was, I was perfect fit for installation, baby. I was as good as they got, right? I was good. I was talented in what I did. And I'm not really good at this. I mean, I know y'all say that I am, but that's just blowing smoke. I really don't know what I'm doing here, all right, preaching. I don't know this. Floor, you show me a wrinkle in your rug, I got you covered, man. I can take care of that, no problem. Right? This is new to me every day. Right? God said, listen, Curtis, do one of two. Go back and install floors or come and be my disciple. Let me teach you. Let me show you the kingdom in a way you maybe have never seen it before. You got a choice to make. So I came home and I put a for sale sign on my truck in the front yard. It didn't last a day. And a guy stopped and he gave me $500 more than what I had written on the window.
Now, how crazy is that? So I sold my truck. I starved. You know, it never says that it's going to be easy. Right? It never says that it's going to be easy. I left a profitable lifestyle and went down, well, the first, 3 years? I didn't make a paycheck for 3 years. You know? I didn't bring any money in. We had some love offerings from a church that sent that we left from. And so it was $500 a month. Right? And that was a love offering. That's what we lived off of. Or I lived off for 3 years. Praise God, my wife has a great job. You know, so I'm not saying that we didn't have anything. I mean, God gave me a really... gave me two pearls, the kingdom and a woman, my wife. And so, but I had to make that choice. Did I want to install floors and be really good and profitable at that? Or did I want to lose my identity, who I was, for the kingdom of God? I said, all right, God, I trust you more than I trust the workmanship of my own hands. You can talk to my wife. For a long time, I struggled so hard with my identity. Who am I? Man, I don't even feel like a man no more. Jeez, I don't get up. I have no calluses on my hands anymore. Last week I went and did a small job, and it hurt me so bad. Oh, my goodness. I was whining for 2 days. Something that wouldn't have been anything a couple years ago, but now I'm not built for that anymore. I'm built for right here. I'm not satisfied with that, the old things anymore. As much as I like putting a couple dollars in my pocket, and I do, I would rather be at my desk, rolling over scripture, beating my head against the Bible, listening to everybody else's problems. I don't know you. I'm not a good counselor, right? But I'll counsel you through the Word of God. Take it or leave it. But you got to be willing to let all other things go for the kingdom. And so the kingdom begins very small. It begins by faith. You hear the Spirit call. You hear the Father move over you. You hear Him call your name. And He offers you something more than you can't see. I want to give you a kingdom that has no foundation on this earth. I want to give you something that you cannot tangibly hold on to. I want to give you something more than the illusions of this world. Now, if you will believe that I've paid the price, Jesus said, you believe in me, right? God sent His only begotten Son, right? And if you believe on Him, He will give you eternal life in an eternal kingdom for eternity. And all you got to do is want it bad enough. Want it more than anything else on this earth. I don't know if you want it. I don't know. I can't make you want it. I wish I could. Man, I wish I could open up your noggin or your spirit hole, right, or whatever it is, and just pour this in your spirit hole. And pour this into you and make this deep desire for it happen. It's not my job. I'm here to tell you that there is a kingdom. It's real. Right? And it starts very small, but is able to grow and fill this whole world with His righteousness. But it starts in you. The kingdom begins in you. Although it was founded before the foundation of the world, God's came to seek and save that which was lost, that you might have more than you can imagine. Anyhow, I could keep kicking a horse, but I'm not going to. I love you, and I pray that this has moved over you and you've heard something, and I pray that this kingdom would come alive, that you would come alive to it, because it's already living in you. You just got to open your eyes and really desire it. Amen? Dear Father, I thank you so much.
so much for the folks that are here, Lord, and for anybody that might hear this message through the serving of the internet, Lord. I ask that those words and this peace and your love would go out, and that you would touch hearts, and that you, Father, would create a vision, Lord, a deep-seated desire for the kingdom of God to be real to each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.